All right, Brian, I'm ready to go. I got prepped for this episode. I watched every season of The Office and every season of Parks and Rec. And just to cover my bases, I also watched half of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and three-fourths of The Good Place.
Did you really?
No. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to TV Guys. And if you don't like this episode, you don't like TV. I'm Matt.
I'm Brian. And okay, before you get started, Matt, in our intro, you made a joke about like watching all of The Office, all of Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Okay. For our listeners, when we're recording this yesterday morning, we came up with this idea because we're prepared like that. You know, Matt texted me, I was at work and made the joke like, oh, I only have 24 hours to watch two full seasons of TV. And then I corrected him with like the timing. I'm like, you actually have like 34 hours. And then you texted me, oh, well, that's totally doable. And with how much you watch TV, I don't know if you were kidding or not.
Yeah. Well, because here's the thing, too, is next episode that we're going to do, we're going to do the Goldbergs. And we've been talking about we need to do the Goldbergs for a while. And the nature of the Goldbergs is that you can watch like one season and you're going to pretty much be able to talk about any of the seasons at that point. They just do the same thing over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. It's funny. But I'm still like, no, I want to watch all of it. Yeah. So Brian finally got through it and he's like, I'm ready to do Goldberg's episode. I'm like, well, I just started on season one, but I've been watching one season per week. And so now we're going to do this in the middle of March.
Yeah.
All 10 seasons, we're talking about that next time. So
it took me like 7 or 8 months to watch all of the Goldbergs, and Matt knew the entire time that I was watching the Goldbergs too.
Yeah, but I had a deadline. I have a deadline now, so it's crunch time. It's fine. And then, you know, we got some other stuff coming up. Well, here's a little preview. A little bit, I don't know when this episode is going to come, but we're going to talk about The Bear. You know, we've watch seasons one and two. That was great. We're gonna have that coming up. I think also we should finally do, we've never done a full episode on this show, but we should do an episode on Everybody Loves Raymond. I will not watch all of Everybody Loves Raymond.
No, I will probably, I don't even know what it's streaming on. I'll probably look up like a best of, or maybe I'll watch some of the greatest hits.
I think it's on Peacock, but don't quote me.
Okay. Quote him.
Got him.
That is a show I have watched all of it before. It was a long time ago, but I did do a full rewatch through it all.
Yeah,
I have them all on DVD. Actually, I could watch it that way. I can talk about the show, but I think I will probably look back and look up. Oh, this is a great episode. And I'll watch some, but yeah, I'm not going to watch 9 full years.
I'm sure we'll also later this year do a Survivor season 2.
Yep.
And I'm surprising Brian again. I'm just airing out all of our dirty laundry here. This is what's going on. He doesn't know this yet, but we will also watch coming up in April. There's the new show Knuckles coming out based off Sonic and Knuckles. And my son Jack really is excited to watch it. And I asked him if he'd want to be on the podcast, and he does. So he'll watch Knuckles and then we'll talk about it and we'll see if he's as crazy and ridiculous as having Elijah on.
I was just
maybe
gonna say,
he's not.
We've had one of your sons on, and yeah, I think the first time he was a little more reserved. I mean, we talked about the show, but this last time he's like, all right, I've done this before. I'm going to go crazy.
I can do what I want. I'm like, all right, well, no, that's not different than any other day.
Yeah. And so I'm going to save this for when we save much more for when we talk about the show, actually. But I kind of think Everybody Loves Raymond is the last classic just family sitcom that doesn't have like a hook behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because like we've as we're going to be talking about Goldbergs, like that whole thing is the 80s. Fresh Off the Boat was the 90s.
Yeah.
The Mike and Molly is show for obese family, you know?
Yeah.
They all kind of have something. Or Big Bang is nerd show.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. That's a good point.
And I mean, like these, like the shows like Everybody Loves Raymond and Full House and Cosby Show, they all have the same, we've talked about this before. There's the living room set. You have the swing doors to the kitchen. Kitchen has a door to the back, to the back door, front door. You have like a door in the back. And stairs coming up from upstairs. So you have like multiple entrances for characters to come in and out of scenes. And they all have like the same basic blueprint of this is where the characters can come in here and here and here and from the kitchen.
And then they pop up from inside the couch.
It could happen in an episode.
It could. It hasn't yet. That's when that's the Rick and Morty sitcom that they're going to do.
Yeah.
Well, we've baited you long enough. We are talking about some of our fans' favorite shows, The Office and Parks and Rec. They're both absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think there's a good argument for other seasons, but I do think that both of these shows, their best season was probably season 3 of both The Office and Parks and Rec. What do you think, Brian?
I don't know if I could say a specific, this is the exact perfect season of things, but I do think this is the start of both of their best eras. I think Parks and Rec 3 through 5 is the best era. And with Office, I would say 3 through 6 is the best era of The Office.
I remember, this might feel like blasphemy, and maybe it's because when Parks and Rec, when The Office had season 4, they started off that season with a couple hour-long episodes.
Yep.
And for some reason, I don't feel like the hour-long episodes was a good format for The Office. And it almost felt like it was a little bit of trying too hard. There's still a lot of good that came past season 3. Mm-hmm. But I just remember season 3, I was just laughing my head off through every single episode. And season 4, there was the thing that I hate when I think this with a comedy, where it's like, oh, they're trying to be funny here. The first time I remember thinking that was in the office meeting when Michael's like, did we anger some sort of God? And then he's like going through like his thing of like, is there a God that's half chicken and a head of a squirrel? And like that whole segment went on much longer than I'm like, it really should have. And that's the first time I'm like, okay, it's not the same magic of season 3.
No, not at all. So, Matt, this was your idea. Do you want to talk about them one at a time and then compare? Or how do you want to do this?
Yeah, so we're definitely going to be pitting them against each other. Okay. But we'll talk about some of our best episodes from each season, and we'll kind of come to our own conclusion of like, which one do we think is the better season, Office or Parks and Rec? And you can use whatever qualifications you want to arrive at that conclusion. We'll also talk about just some arcs of the season 2, because they both had some really good arcs, and some of the best of the series were in these seasons as well.
It's a little late, but what we should have done is had a guest on, because then we could vote. Because we could end up with a deadlock. If we had a guest on, we can't have a deadlock.
Oh, we will not have a deadlock. I've got my children upstairs, and I will force them to come downstairs just so they can agree with you out of principle. That's something that Elijah would do. He'd be like, I might agree with Dad in my heart, but publicly I'm going to say no. It's the other guy.
Okay, so if you got all 4 of your kids in Angie, so you guys had 6 votes. Yeah, 6 votes. Do you think any of them would do that? Would like, I'm going to vote against Matt or Dad?
Elijah would be the one. I think Miles, my youngest, would vote because I voted that way. And my daughter, Sayla, would vote no matter what with me.
Okay.
Jack and Elijah are wild cards.
They're still young enough that you're cool.
I know. And I'm going to keep them that way. I'm going to cryogenically freeze my kid. This is a weird... That's a weird tangent we went there. All right.
Yeah.
Coming back.
Yeah, that's all you.
That's true. It is. As I like to say as an improv comedian, I yes and myself into a lot of weird conversation topics. So.
It seems like you're like people are going too far with the joke, but it's you starting the joke and finishing it yourself. And I'm just standing here. I didn't do anything.
Matt, you just yes and everything you I'm David Cross in Arrested Development. Yes, and here is a plate. And yes, oh, she's too good. I can't keep up.
All right, let's start with The Office or Parks?
Let's do The Office. All right. So there's a number of arcs, and I'll throw out a couple of them, and then we'll jump into them a little bit more specifically. But The Office Season 3, it starts with Jim and Pam being separated. Jim's over in Stamford, Connecticut. So we have an early part of the season that is all that. So their arc, Jim and Pam. And actually, I think Season 3 you know, I said I'd throw out a bunch of the arcs, but I want to talk about this for a second because season three actually has the best Pam character development of all of The Office, mm-hmm. because her discovering who she is and finding her voice while not in a relationship with anyone was a really solid thing to do for Pam's character. And you have her kind of flirt. She comes back to Roy for a little bit. They have that later in the season. She's kind of pining after Jim, even though he moved. And then there's, of course, the big resolution and beach day and the speech and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of it is her like, well, do I like Jim? Do I go back to Roy? Who am I without these relationships in my life? And that was the best thing they did for her in the entire series.
Yeah, I think this was definitely a good one for Pam because he said her role basically in the office was like Jim's friend. I mean, she had a connection with Michael, but at this point it was still kind of more contentious. She's kind of more a parent to Michael instead of later she became a friend to Michael.
Yeah, some of her other stuff of the art school wasn't as interesting. Her fight with Jim in the final season and that thing was it wasn't great. And then there's a period. I think office manager Pam was an interesting time.
Yeah, but after that, it was just like we didn't care what Pam was doing. Pam, it was just an excuse to have Pam there physically.
Yeah. And so then Jim's arc of him being away from Scranton and then kind of developing his own character and then of course everything with Karen. I think that was very interesting too because Karen was a great character but she was no Pam, and so they did a really good job of having Ann Perkins right there with him that was holding her own in sarcasm and was someone to root with, like laugh with but not root for, I guess is the
it was kind of a parallel because he had Karen in like the Pam role and she had Andy in the Dwight role.
Yep.
Which was interesting. I mean, of course they it was intentional when they had the merger, we had to have a scene of Andy and Dwight kind of facing off. And I think they were probably experimenting. Is this going to work to have them both in the same office? Are we going to be able to have both of these kind of comic relief characters together? And I think it worked because those guys are different enough. They're different versions of the same coin.
Yeah, and that was the other really good arc. Well, there's a lot of good arcs of this season. But Dwight's stuff is 100% with Andy, and there's that whole merger as they come over, and Andy and Karen are really the only mainstays for the rest of the season, and then Karen leaves, and Andy's the only one from that office who sticks around. But that dynamic of the Dwight versus Andy, there was some frustration of like when Andy would get the one up on him, but to watch kind of the comedic back and forth between those guys was just really funny of like, I'm a director. So that on a film set, that's the highest rank that it can be. Oh, I know all about films. I've seen 143 of them. Like the stupidest flexes that they would pick. And that's what they'd go
but
after.
The thing is to anybody else, these flexes would be like, okay, no one cares, but to them it's like, oh, like you can tell Andy was actually threatened by Dwight's flexes and back and forth. They weren't admitting it, but they really were sizing each other up. Where anyone else, like if he tried that with Stanley would just roll his eyes and say, okay, whatever.
Exactly. So it was a really good competitive level to have, and it brought some great lines like the Dwight may have won this battle, but I will win the next battle.
Or like the I'm like a carpenter.
That's
built stairs. Like I'm always thinking one step ahead, like a carpenter who built stairs.
Great line. It was a lot of fun to have those two together. And I think they realized like when they had Andy go away, like, you know what? I think we can bring him back and kind of retool him a little bit because the anger Andy was not a good character trait. No. And sure, that kind of neuters a little bit of that personality, but they gave him something different, and the Andy that they brought back was a really good Andy until really the last couple of seasons. I know not everyone digs Andy, but I liked Andy for the most part till the final seasons.
Also, so this is interesting. I'm going to briefly bring up Parks and Rec because it's a little of a parallel because you mentioned Roy earlier. So in this season, early on, Roy and Pam get together, and Roy's not a terrible guy, right? In the beginning, I mean, especially this season, he really starts to turn it around. Like, he comes to Pam's art show, and you kind of see early Roy is kind of like early Andy Dwyer in Parks and Rec. And they took those similar arcs in different directions. With Andy, they had Andy come around. They had Andy become less of a jerk. They had him become the lovable idiot who is on their who's like with the heart of gold kind of thing. And then with Roy, they decided, no, we're going to let this flame out. And it all comes to the head at the bar where Pam admits that, you know, she kissed Jim. He gets mad. And then the next day comes in and tries to punch Jim. And basically that's just the end of Roy as a main character. He comes back a couple times. And you can see how both they could have done either show either way, but they went one way with Andy and one way with Roy in that kind of loser boyfriend character.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it was the right choice, actually, on both of them.
Me too.
I think that was, like, unfortunately for, I forget the actor's name, who played Roy. And he's a good actor.
Denman.
Yeah. What?
David Denman.
That, like, you kind of end up pushing him off the show. But I think that the role that he filled was fine, and that there was no need to keep him around. Whereas Andy turned into that character that we really love and one of the best of the series.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Speaking of relationships, going back to Dwight here for a moment, the other big thing for Dwight in this season, and this was kind of like a spattering of episodes, but there was this power dynamic with Dwight that there was a couple different times, and that it actually gets referenced when Andy's trying to undermine him. There's the episode early on when Dwight tries to kind of make this power grab behind Michael's back, and he goes and meets with Jan. And yeah, that's in the third episode, The Coup. And so, you know, you had that episode, you had of him getting fired, and then taking that job at Staples and then coming back. And then, like, just even having to fill in that role when Andy comes and trying to be the boss and then realizing, no, wait, Jim's the number three. And kind of that, now I report to Jim. There was a lot of fun that they had with Dwight's power, where he never really had it. And which is Dwight's character.
Yeah.
Thinking he has more than he has.
Yeah. I think about that. And that's true. I was trying to think of what happened with Dwight, because there's really not a whole lot with Dwight and Angela this season. That really starts next season.
Well, there is, because season two introduced us to Dwight and Angela, and season three was the solidifying of their relationship.
Yeah, but there really wasn't a whole lot of meat. When you think of great Dwight and Angela scenes, I don't think a lot of them come from this season. Unless I'm wrong.
I do. Well, okay. No, it's not a Dwight Angela. It's actually an Angela Andy, but it's from their relationship. One of my favorite interchanges is the beach day with Angela when she's trying to sabotage.
Yeah.
Angela, go get someone. What do I do? Angela, it's pretty simple. Look at what I'm doing and tell someone.
And he said, are you saying sandwich? Or no, earlier. Oh, no, to Dwight. To Dwight. You're saying sandwich? No, I was saying that earlier. Now I'm saying sabotage. It's that little thing about, no, I was saying that earlier. It's this little extra gag. That little bit is something that could have been a Rainn Wilson on the spot.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Also, so this is, I'm trying to remember, Office, that's the show where in the third season, you know, you have main characters who are in somewhere else. And then after a while, those group of main characters come back and they join our other main characters, except over time the new people who come back end up being gone until Mr. Bernard's the only one left. That's the show, right?
Yes.
Or is it Lost?
That's the one. Yeah. Well, Lost had more than just Jim go somewhere else. It's like, really, we lost Jim. And Jan was over there for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we were introduced to Josh in season two, but he was only there for one or maybe two episodes in season two. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't really consider him that, but it's really just John Krasinski and Mallory Harden over there.
Yeah. Can we talk about Jan for a second here?
We can, because that's Michael's thing, is Carol and then Jan. That's his arc.
Well, yeah. Before we even get to Michael, Jan herself, this is the season where Jan enters the season a stable boss who maybe has a few quirks, but she's still respected, and she's kind of like that, just a little bit less crazy than David Wallace kind of figure.
Yeah.
She ends it being Jan. the Jan that we think of. Because the season four starts and she's talking to Pam about peeping on Michael and joining the fun run. This season was the downfall and upward hilarity of Jan.
Yeah, when Michael's with Carol, because this season's arc for those two and for Jan was set up in Casino Night with him having the two dates to the Casino Night. And then Jan gets this jealousy, even though it's a really actually a smart writing for it. Like, it's a lot more subtle than I think the Office tends to be, where it's like she feels so stupid that she allowed herself to think, yeah, I'll go on this date with Michael. I'll show up to Casino Night as his date. And then, oh no, he has a girlfriend there, or he already has a date. And we actually see it in one of the Superfan episodes. There's one episode where we see how Jan is with the Stanford branch and how Jan is with the Scranton branch and how terrible she's being to Michael and that branch and how she's taking so much out on them. And then Stanford is doing like the exact same thing. And she's like, oh no, this is fine. Like that was the whole point actually of that. Not the same thing. It was the Call of Duty episode.
Yeah.
Jan shows up. They're all playing Call of Duty. You would think the boss would be like, why are you guys doing that? But yet over in Scranton, it's been a while since I saw this episode, the Superfan, so I don't remember exactly what the problem was. I think it was the Varsity Blues. They were having DVDs. And that was that purposeful connection of Scranton can't get away with this. But Stanford, they can literally take hours to play Call of Duty all day, and she's fine with it.
And it's established that despite all of Michael's time wasting stuff, the Scranton branch was always a very profitable branch.
Yeah. And I like, that's what makes her frustrated. I think that's even what makes David Walls frustrated, is it's like there'd be so much more peace for them if Michael wasn't in charge of this branch, but it's doing its job. It's profitable. It's great. They had to honor him in the one time that every other branch was downturn. They bring him to the stockholders meeting. He's a good manager somehow.
Yeah.
Is this the season? I think this might be the season when David calls him to New York to ask him what he's doing well, or is that season four?
I don't know what episode that is in, because that scene is kind of apart from the rest of the rest of the plot. So I'm not sure what that comes from.
Let me just.
It's around here if it's not this season.
Yeah. It might be season four. I'm not seeing season three. I think it is just season four. Anyway, so. Yeah, so there's that. Sorry, I'm just looking through some of these here. Just biding time.
Does this season have anything for Ryan until the very end, or is Ryan just kind of there?
Yeah, Ryan in this season is the most likable he is, because he settled into his role in the Office, but he's not like full-blown punk. And so he has some really funny stuff, like, you know, when... in the Benihana Christmas, and Michael ropes Jim into going to Benihana and asks Ryan, and Ryan like has like five excuses, and Jim's like, well, thanks for taking all the excuses, and he continues to rattle them off. Then he's like, you got to be more prepared than that. I have him on my phone. You know, there's some really good Ryan lines this season where he's not the punchline.
Yeah. He's not the bad guy yet.
Yeah. But yeah, we do have the Carol versus Jan dynamic, and it's kind of funny. You can split the season pretty much down the middle of the first half of it being the, Michael and Carol, and then Benihana Christmas happens and he photoshops his face on a picture of a ski trip with, Carol's ex-husband and her kids.
Yeah.
And that breaks up. And then he goes to Sandals with Jan. And that episode, as he's wondering, like, is she going to freak out? She's coming from New York. He's trying to dodge her phone calls. And she's like, actually, no, I think I should pursue this. And then she collapses upon herself like a dying star.
Yes, she does. And it's right, like, it's pretty quick turnaround for that.
Yeah.
Is there really an I mean, and there, I think there is an Andy arc here with the anger management and him leaving for. Well, do you know what he was? He was. This is pre-Hangover. So what was Andy doing during those episodes when he was gone?
My thought, and this is unfounded, so that, like, I didn't do research and I know this, but my thought was that they originally were like, okay, we have him for this brief stint, and then we're not going to, like, make him a season regular. He was just around for half the season. We need to get rid of everyone from Stanford eventually. And so they got rid of him and then realized, no, that character works. We want to have him back. Because I know that his character definitely did grow because of how good Ed Helms performed it.
Yeah.
But I don't know at what point that was decided.
I'm fairly certain they discussed all of those details and what actually happened, whether you're right or wrong, on the Office Ladies podcast. But they're on season 9. It was years ago when they were on season 3. So I have no idea. I listened to it. I listened to all of them. But it's been a long time.
I'm so ashamed that you don't remember.
Okay, detour, but we're still talking about the same show. Did you hear about the news going around about the whole work bus and Bryan Cranston directing and how they all almost died?
Yeah, I'd heard that.
Yeah. He came on the podcast and told that story.
Yeah. I'd heard that before, but like that I learned of a couple years ago, but why don't you tell that story since you brought it up?
I suppose for our listeners, like, are they going to tell it? Yeah. So in season 9, there's an episode where they're all on a bus, and it's called Work Bus, and it's directed by Bryan Cranston of Breaking Bad. And at one point, it was so hot, they were able to pull, like, behind the bus on a trailer, a portable air conditioning unit, and have the fan go up into the window so they could be cool inside. And then Jenna Fisher started to smell something funny, and they realized Bryan Cranston got up on the bus and, like, smelled the vent and told everyone, get off the bus now. Because I guess the intake to this air conditioning unit was right behind the exhaust of the bus. So the exhaust of the bus was going right into the air conditioning and right into the bus that they were all breathing. So they had to get everyone off the bus and air it out and make sure they're not breathing toxic fumes.
Yes. Yeah. And so good job, Jenna Fisher. Way to recognize what carbon monoxide smells like.
And good job, Bryan Cranston, for taking charge and getting everybody off the bus.
Yes. So before we talk about what some of our favorite episodes are, this season had a couple of big high-profile directors. We had Harold Ramis from Caddyshack fame.
Ghostbusters fame.
And Ghostbusters. He directed a number of the episodes, including Benihana Christmas and Beach Games. We also had Joss Whedon, Mr. Buffy the Vampire himself, direct Business School, where there was a bat loose in the office and Jim pranked that he was a vampire. Nice little cohesion there. And then we also had J.J. Abrams direct the episode right after that of Cocktails, where they all go for the dinner party at David Wallace's house.
And Ken Kwapis, director of the 1985 Sesame Street movie Follow That Bird.
You're right. He directed Gay Witch Hunt, as well as a couple other ones.
Yeah, I know, because, like, that's not his biggest credit, but of course, I'd be the one to bring that up.
Yeah, but Ken Kwapis, he bookended the season. He was Gay Witch Hunt all the way at the end of The Job. He did that one as well.
Yep. And so, all of the other directors, you are also fantastic too, because I'm sure you're all listening.
So this is a season that it's so hard to pick out. Oh, I mean, it's not hard to pick out the best, but to be like, hey, which ones should we talk about? Which ones of these 25 episodes should we highlight? And it's like every other one I want to highlight. Grief Counseling, hilarious. Gay Witch Hunt, great season premiere. Obviously, you know how much I love Benihana Christmas, my favorite Office episode.
The Merger is one of my favorites by far.
Merger, such a great episode. Business School, I love all of that. So suck on that.
Beach Games, I mean, it doesn't get much more classic than Beach Games.
Exactly. Beach Games and The Job, both are really good.
Yeah, I think Beach Games more than The Job. I think The Job has a couple moments, but I think the Beach Games is a more memorable episode.
Absolutely.
In Phyllis's Wedding, we're looking for Uncle Al. Rock! Roxanne.
This is a very serious situation.
Roxanne.
Too bad he didn't have Jeff Winger there. Just but no, shut it down.
It took me a second. I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah, I think my second favorite, as I'm looking at all these, I did 100% love Benihana, but I think my second favorite episode was Grief Counseling. There's something about that episode, the Jim and Karen, after looking for Karen's favorite potato chip, whatever. Yeah. But, Michael breaking down and trying, like, holding the office hostage pretty much to his own grief process. Yeah. And their little powwow they have in there where then they just start naming movies or like movie plots to tell about, oh, this is the time I experienced grief. And then Kevin ruins it by just giving him Weekend at Bernie's. Like, that whole scene, all of that is just so funny.
Yeah. It's not like the other ones were subtle. Ryan said his uncle Mufasa, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it was Pam who started off because it was $1 Million Baby first.
Yeah.
But they referenced $1 Million Baby and the ending a couple different times, I think even in that season.
I think it's a reason that both of these, we're talking about a season three, I think a lot of shows have a strong third season because by now you don't have to take time getting us to understand who these characters are, the setting. Yeah. You can just hit the ground running. You've had two seasons under your belt. You've had time to bring in recurring characters, recurring jokes, and you can just, it's not as much setup needed once you get to the third season.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that is The Office. There's still more we could share, but we'll probably talk more about it when we're comparing the two. So let's jump to Parks and Rec.
I was going to say we could do a whole episode about The Office Season 3, but we pretty much already did that when we did The Office Season 3 and 4.
That's a great sentence that you just uttered that you definitely didn't struggle over at any point.
No, I definitely didn't cut out the stuttering of myself. That I stuttered making fun of myself stuttering.
So Parks and Rec Season 3 is, to me, I've frequently said, if you're going to try and get into Parks and Rec, honestly, start at season 3 because they do this recap at the very beginning of season 3 that tells you everything you need to know about seasons 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And you're not missing a ton, especially season 1. Season 2 has some really good episodes, but season 3 is where they hit their stride and you already feel connected with these characters even right away because they just do such a good job of setting them up. But early on season 3, this is another season that's kind of divided in half. They kind of had their fall break after the Harvest Festival. And so yeah. It starts where they're gearing up for this Harvest Festival. Wait, did I say they had a fall break? Because I'm looking at the airing dates and they didn't really break from it because they started airing this season in January of 2011. So I remembered it wrong, but they do have a very definitive break in terms of story structure. So like the first half of the season is gearing up for this Harvest Festival that they think is going to help bring back revenue for the town because they have Ben and Chris there to kind of trim the fat of the budget. And Leslie had to fight to be like, this is a big project we need to do to help save our parks department, to help save our town, to help renew interest in local business, et cetera, et cetera. It's a win-win for everyone all around. And so there's the 7-8 episodes of them fighting to make that happen. That's a great arc, and that's a wonderful introduction to Parks and Rec, in my opinion. I think that's even how I started, was by starting in season 3.
I started with season 1 because I'm cool like that. It was after the show was already on, but I started with season 1. And Harvest Festival is definitely, I think, in the top. I don't have a top 10, but I think Harvest Festival's in it.
Yeah, because the big arc for the rest of the group after that, there's definitely some things that carry over, but they don't gear up for something like that for the rest of the season. They have the after the Harvest Festival, there's some big things that happen. Andy and April, their relationship gets like solidified at the Harvest Festival because their relationship is a big part of this season, especially after at the end of season one, Anne kissed, end of season one, end of season two, Anne kissed Andy, and April saw it, and she got jealous. And so it was them coming together, finally solidifying at the Harvest Festival. And then a couple episodes later, they end up getting married.
Yeah. In one of the most impromptu what kind of marriages ever. But it lasts, and it works for them.
Hey, that's the girl from The Thing! You mean from The Marriage? The wedding?
Yeah, what's her deal? She got married 10 minutes ago.
Oh, snap!
Was that Colton Dunn or Harris Whittles?
I can't remember which one. I can remember, but it's the one who's dead now, unfortunately.
Harris Whittles, then.
Yes, him. Yeah. It's not Mr. Superstore himself.
No, it's not.
Which I've started on that show, and Colton Dunn is fantastic in it.
Cool. If you're starting on that show, maybe I'll go back and rewatch it, because I saw like most of
it. The way you said cool was like so dismissive. It's like I was your kid. Like, okay, cool. Thanks, son.
You said he's good on that show, right?
He is.
Yeah, no, I was gonna come back to that. I was gonna say, I was not dismissing it. I might rewatch that show, because then we could talk about it, because Colton Dunn on that show, I was going to come back to it, not dismiss it. It's easily my favorite character on that show, or Glenn.
Yeah. 100. Yeah, Colton Dunn definitely is my favorite. There's a lot of good characters on it, but he steals the show. He's so funny. He's just, speaking of dismissive, he is so dismissive of everyone else, just like, you guys are all crazy. He's the relatable side of it, because everyone has their own quirks, and he has some quirky parts, but he's really just like, you guys are stupid, and I'm just going to have fun and do what I do. He's got the confidence to do that and the sarcasm to match, so good character.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Parks and Rec. Bringing it back. Besides that arc, Ron have something going on this season? Was this the one with Tom's wife, or is that in season two?
I feel like Ron was dating somebody that ended in the season, that took over in the season, because what it was, Ron is, as the whole thing in the beginning of the season, Ron and Andy are basketball coaches for the Little League, and Tom is the ref, and he's making bad calls because he's jealous of Ron and Wendy.
That's right.
But yeah. Ron and Wendy didn't last very long. It's kind of a relationship that you forget about afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, his big one was with...
Diane.
What's her name? What was
it? Big relationship? Diane?
Yeah.
And he ends up marrying?
Diane, thank you.
Diane's interesting, and then Tammy. Yeah. And, of course, there's Tammy, who comes in and out.
That doesn't count. I mean, it counts because it's conflict, but I don't – that's an anti-relationship.
Yeah, I mean, and they were really only on the show together for one episode. Other than that, it was all prior to the show.
Yeah. But outside of, like, arcs, there's a little bit with Tom of kind of him getting more acclimated out of his, like – entrepreneurness, because he loses his ability to have like the snake hole lounge, his sort of thing.
We'll talk about the fight later. You keep going.
And so, you know, he's kind of has to grow up a little bit more, and he's like, well, what am I doing now if I don't have that? And so I think the next season four is when he has the Entertainment 720. But he kind of has a little bit of like, what is my role here? I don't want to be in government, this whole, you know, that sort of thing.
He wants to do something that matters, that's cool, that's new and exciting.
Yeah. But, of course, the big arc for the season after the Harvest Festival was Ben and
Leslie.
I kept wanting to say Amanda. I'm like, why am I saying Amanda? But Ben and Leslie. Hey, I know this show. I've seen it. I know characters. Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, the show with Amanda.
And it's really funny because, like, the Ben and Leslie romance, it wasn't hinted at too much during the Harvest Festival because they were antagonistic. If they did any sort of hinting, it was like that elementary school, like, she pulls your hair because she likes you sort of thing. And
there was a hint. At the very end, when she does the whole, like, blows the smoke at him, like the curse, as a joke, and he kind of smiles. You could tell that there's a seeds of it there.
That's what I was about to get to, is that it wasn't really until the Harvest Festival episode that it was a more mature form of flirting instead of the, well, I'll just do what I do. Like, there's some moments of respect, like when she gives that speech when she has a flu, and she's able to go from being completely incoherent to takes a stage and nails it. And then comes back off of it. There was the Ben side of like, that's really impressive.
Like, but that's Leslie Knope.
That's exactly. And so they really go, it's amazing how much headway they make in that relationship in just 8 or 9 episodes.
Yeah. And even though they appeared first in the season, the last episode of season 2, this one is the first one that as full time brought in Rob Lowe and Adam Scott as Chris and, yeah, it is Chris. I keep thinking Chris Pratt, but Chris's last name, I'm blanking. Traeger. Chris Traeger.
I knew that one. Wyatt.
Yeah, not the bad miss. Chris Traeger and Ben Wyatt joining the cast, which, yeah, the sweet spot is having those two on the cast for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that Rob Lowe, at different points, like, he pulls away for a little bit. And then, of course, when him and Rashida Jones leave the show together, there's that whole thing. But like, having his character, and especially in when he's at his manic side, like the high side instead of the depressive, because he'll bounce between the two. But when he's at his like optimistic manic side, that is peak Parks and Rec. It's such a good character, and he has it's hard to out energy Leslie Knope, but he manages to do it.
Yes. I don't think we get depressive Chris in this season. I think that's later.
Yeah, I think so too. So it was a great breath of fresh air to have both of those two come in into season 2 and just be the staples of the show that they became.
Yeah.
And season 3, again, just kicks off that, and it's just fantastic. So looking at some of the episodes, there's a lot of really good ones.
Yeah, from the beginning here.
I think flu season
might be
one of my favorite episodes of the whole show. I don't know if it's top, but it might be.
We did an episode about Parks and Rec episodes not long ago, and I think we talked about flu season.
Yeah, because like that episode just has such great lines, and especially Rob Lowe's improvised the stop pooping.
Exactly, and April and Anne's showdown was really good too.
And Leslie's, hang on, the ceiling and the wall just switch places. All right, we're good.
Yeah, and then even the next one, okay, Time Capsule is underrated because that is one of the funniest town hall meetings they've had when everyone's arguing over what to put in this book.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, Will Twilight. Forte
is fantastic, of course.
Oh, yeah. It's like, let's see, too religious and not religious enough. So does it kind of even itself out?
I definitely love though the Harvest Festival episode. Yes, I've said this before because we've talked about it. One of my favorite things about that episode is you don't always get this in shows where they let you have the moment. Harvest Festival, they built some tension of it because, you know, you've got to have things go wrong. You've got to have conflict in your show or else it's a boring show. So they gave you the conflict that they had to overcome. But when it gets to the Harvest Festival episode and there's a conflict within the episode, it's also the conflict of the 7 episodes leading up to it. And when they finally get everything good and the festival goes off and people love it, they let you just have the big panning shot of the big aerial shot of the whole festival grounds. And it's playing American Girl, and it's just like everyone's enjoying themselves, and it's exactly what Leslie Knope set out to do. And it's a really good TV moment. I've always really liked that.
Yeah. It's always good to have – sometimes it's funnier for the characters to lose – or to have a win in a different way. This was just a pure, they did it. They set out what they, you know, they did just what they set out to do.
Yep. Other highlighted episodes. You wanted to talk about the fight. I'll let you. Oh,
the fight. I mean, the whole fight in the Snake Oil Lounge. You get everybody away from the government, away from City Hall. You get them into the Snake Oil Lounge. You get most of them drunk. And it was just hilarious. The revenge dancing of Anne and Leslie, because Leslie's trying to get Anne a job at City Hall, and she wants her to be home studying for the interview. and Anne's having fun. And Tom's has to quit Snake Hole. Ron's been tasked at supporting and advertising it. What else was going on? John Ralphio is just there being John Ralphio. And then that whole shot of everybody being drunk one by one is like one of the it's just a fantastic series of talking heads.
Yeah. Speaking of fantastic series of talking heads, though, my favorite series of those was, I don't think it's in this season. I think it's in season two, but the cop one, when that fight happens at the bar and cop just gives like the detailed report, their talking head is how they would write the report. And then it all ends with real piece of work. Loved that. That was a great segment.
It was.
Another great episode, Eagleton, and that's mainly for the B plot of It's Ron's Birthday.
Love that. B plot. Yes.
Because, you know, of course, Leslie goes all out, and Ron's like dreading the celebration for his birthday, and it ends up being exactly what he would want by himself, a steak dinner, whatever whiskey or scotch or whatever it is. And the movie that he likes. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. Whatever that movie was. I don't remember. I was about to tell you, but I don't remember what it was.
Or maybe the TV show or it was just left ambiguous of just like, it's Clint Eastwood or Westerns or whatever is up his alley.
In April and Andy's fancy party where they finally get married.
Yep. We talked about that one, but that is definitely top notch.
Yeah. Oh, media blitz with the whole Ben not being able to talk publicly and him melting down on national TV. Is that one?
Yeah. That, with Ira and the douche?
Yeah.
Really good Adam Scott episode.
Mm-hmm. Or the first time we really get to see Ron and... Oh, no. This is the second time we see Ron and Tammy.
Yeah. Is it?
Because the episode's called Ron and Tammy Part 2. So I'm guessing season 2... had a Ron and Tammy episode. Let me look.
You know,
I'm pretty sure they did.
But this is a season that ends really strong with the season finale of Lil Sebastian for his memorial service. The song that they sing, the tension of like what's going to happen in season 4 now that Chris sees Ben and Leslie together. Wait, no, that doesn't happen yet. That's when they're going to get caught from this. But.
Yeah, but we do have Leslie starts to it gets approached about running for office.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the maintenance guy, they did have in season 3 at the end, the finale, the maintenance guy did see them kissing and then that came back later. And that maintenance guy was played by Biff Yeager, who also played a construction worker on Gilmore Girls.
Way to go, Biff.
Yeah. Mr. Yeager.
There's another B plot that I love in the episode Soulmates with Ron and Chris, and they are competing who's going to make the best burger.
Oh, yeah.
Or a burger versus a vegan burger.
Yeah. And Chris has like, it's whatever, all these specific stuff. And then it goes to Ron. It's a hamburger made out of meat on a bun with nothing. Add ketchup if you want. I don't care. And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, Ron's is better.
I loved it. That's a great payoff to the conflict of that B plot.
All right. So have you made your decision? Because I think I've made my decision. Or how do you want to do this?
I think we have the same decision because it was so much easier to talk about Office Season 3. Parks and Rec Season 3 is great. It really is. It's a lot of good moments. But it's just was so natural for us to be like, oh, this episode, oh, this episode, oh, that episode, blah, 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 blah. There's not a chance that Office Season 3 is worse than Parks and Rec Season 3 to me.
I'm actually going to go the other way.
What?
Okay, no, it's like by a razor thin margin. And hear me out.
Okay.
Season 3 Office has some of the best episodes. And it may be the best episode of the season. But I think its detriment is that there are... I mean, accounts the job is 2, but 24 episodes of Office Season 3, 16 episodes of Parks and Rec Season 3. I think Parks and Rec Season 3 is tighter. I think there's really In amidst of all of the great episodes, I think there is a handful of episodes in The Office season 3 that are just so-so. A bunch of episodes we didn't mention because Women's Appreciation, nothing great. Part of Product Recall, they could get rid of that episode.
Product Recall is fantastic. It has Andy's Beer Me and the Lord Beer Me Strength. It has the Michael Scott calling him in and like talking and double talking. They're like, why are you talking like that? And then also the other part of that same meeting where it's like, I need two men on this. That's what she said. There's no time, but that's really what she said. But there's no time. Okay, and then
Michael doing
getting what's her name fired.
Okay, the Andy and Michael stuff, that those little bits could have been put in any other episode. I still think that I think Parks and Rec season 3 is a tighter episode with less episodes that we didn't talk about because there's less episodes overall. I think the highs of season 3 Office are high, but it's like a steak and there's some fat in the mix, whereas Parks and Rec might be a smaller steak, but there's less fat in the mix.
How about Indianapolis? Ooh, what is this? Ron and Leslie head to Indianapolis to receive accommodation. Oh, that actually is a good episode.
Yeah,
because that episode has the line that is now famous: "The give me all of your eggs and bacon."
Yeah,
wait, that thing is you misunderstood me. Okay, you might have misheard.
If you're going for a so-so episode, maybe camping might be like the worst of that one, which I still liked camping.
Camping is good. Tom's obsession with SkyMall.
Yeah. See, you're proving my point. I think that there's really not a miss in Parks and Rec season 3, even if the highs of Office season 3 might be higher.
How about the A plot of Soulmates or the A plot of Eagleton? We talked about the B plot with Ron, but the A plot on both of those is so-so. And if your A plot so-so, then that's a problem.
Yeah. See, I came into this knowing that Matt was going to pick The Office. I knew that going in.
How dare you? Don't you know things about me?
I wasn't going to just be different just to be contrarian, but the more we talked about Parks and Rec season 3, the more I realized we're really not skipping that many in this, and it's a really tight season. And you can make a point. You can make a case for either one. If you agree, Office, I'm not going to say you're stupid. Except for Matt, that's for other reasons. But
I'm just stupid for other reasons that are unrelated.
Yeah. I just think there was a time when I thought Parks and Rec is better than The Office. I think those two are my one and two, and they go back and forth.
Here's the other thing about The Office, too. We spent so much time talking about the arcs of that season because there's a lot of really dynamic things that happened.
Yeah.
There wasn't as much ground covered for me in Parks and Rec. There were things that happened. We hit on those. But it seemed like they really did a good job in The Office of giving all these different characters really solid growth opportunities. And Parks and Rec, they definitely had some of that in there, but yeah, it was a lot less than what we saw from Office to me.
Yeah, but is one better than the other? Would you rather have episodic or would you rather have arcs? I think there is something to be said for both.
No, there's not. No, whichever you're going to say, I disagree with. No, whatever. Whatever, Brian. It's fine. The audience is going to agree with me. They're going to text and be like, hey, Matt, I don't know what Brian's smoking. I'll be like, I don't know either.
But I will say that I do prefer an arc because I always say the reason I get way more into TV shows than movies is that you get more time with the characters. In movies, you have like an hour and a half or maybe more if they're sequels to get to know. With TV shows, you have multiple seasons, a lot more ground to cover. You can take more detours and explore secondary characters more. You get to live in their world more. So I do like arcs, but I still have to say I think Parks and Rec season 3 might take it, in my opinion. So yes, listeners, most of you don't reply and text us except for one person. He might, I don't know if he'll listen to this one or not. Maybe he will. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
I think he'll agree with you though.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to hear from you. Shoot us a line.
Do you want them to write in if they agree with me?
Sure.
Or only if they agree with you.
You know what? I'm a big boy. I can handle it. They'll be wrong. You guys can be wrong together. That's fine. Misery loves company, so they can write into you.
Yeah.
Now, you're apparently going to be miserable because of this. So
let's go into trivia. So last week we had. See, I took it.
No, go ahead.
Normally going into trivia is your thing. Last week we had Mike on and we talked about My Lunch from Scrubs. And we talked about how there's an episode of Scrubs that has Muppet characters in it from Sesame Street. And I said, well, there's another episode of Scrubs where the featured guest star is actually a Muppet performer. And that was the episode My Musical, where the main musical star, the patient who was hearing all the music, was played by Stephanie DeBruzzo, who is a Sesame Street performer.
There you go. DeBruzzo.
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 DABRUZZO. DeBruzzo.
DeBruzzo. Did I do it?
Yeah.
I'm done trying. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. So this week, speaking of season three of The Office, we had an actor who, if you watch Whose Line Is It Anyway, another show that we love, one of the series regulars actually was on The Office season three. Which actor or which character on the show was played by someone from The Office? That's a bad way to ask that, but you know what I'm asking. Which actor was played by an actor?
Who from Whose Line Is It Anyway was on The Office season three, and who did he play?
Don't ask it in a better way. Gosh, people will then agree with stuff that you say more.
Well, I'm better at trivia. I'm better at, you know, life. Picking answers. I mean, you're better at staying married than I am. I mean, I have that.
I guess. If you want to go there, that's fine. All right. Well, on that happy note, remember next week or next episode, we were talking about the Goldbergs. Make sure you pop in and say hi and have some fun, because back in the 80s, I don't have anything else prepared for that. So until next time, I'm Matt.
I'm Brian.
And we're reminding you to stay tuned and keep watching.